Welcome to the Real Estate Influencer Buzz Podcast with Michelle B., a midlife mama of millennials, wife, South Florida realtor, marketer, lifestyle blogger, and fan of an Okie Chardonnay who loves a niche life. Each week, she'll be sharing her real-life marketing and branding tips from influencers in and out of real estate, bloggers, and social media stars. Buckle up for a side of sassy, a sprinkle of sparkly, and entertaining conversations with influencers who share their secrets to grow their businesses. Sit back and get comfy with your favorite drink. Let's start today's Sip Social Sales Sesh.
Hey guys, welcome to the Real Estate Influencer Buzz with Michelle B. I am so excited today to have this guest on who I saw at Gary V, Agent 2021. We kept going by each other like sharks, like we were swimming by each other. Christine Beckwith is in the hive with me today. And we're going to talk about women in business, women in mortgage, women in real estate. We're going to talk a little bit about women in safety in general. Yeah. She has two amazing books, by the way, that she wrote. And we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about influencing and influencers in the industry. She's one for sure. And I'm actually going to let Christine tell me a little bit about herself. I've got a big bio here and I pulled out a few things. So if you miss anything, I'm just going to jump in and say, hey, so let's roll.
Yeah. Welcome. I mean, I guess I always say if you get old enough in this business, you know, you amass enough crap and notoriety and stuff that it just all adds up. So I'm an old dog in the business, and you know, I've been working away in the field and in executive banking for the last 18 years. Really proud of that, and at the same time just love the mortgage industry. Got in it right, you know, during college. Went to school for sports medicine and nutrition and caught the bug to become a loan officer, and the rest is history. I just kind of rode up the ranks of sales, and just intentionally in the last couple of years, knowing I would launch 2020 Vision Coaching and set my leadership staff down directly, I knew that I needed to kind of get public. In fact, if you look at September of 2016, I only had 1,200 followers on LinkedIn. I was not an active user. I probably had 500 followers on Facebook. So people are kind of like, where the hell did you come from? And I always say, well, I've just been doing the work. And, you know, many, many years ago when I, you know, as they label it, not me, but when I broke my first glass ceiling and I kind of got the microphone shoved in my face for interviews, I didn't want the attention because I was so scared that would I be a good leader at that level? Like, I don't want an audience. I just, leave me alone. Like, I want to go do the work and I want to, you know, prove myself at this level without having people standing there saying, oh, you know, this girl who's a 2% executive, let's see what she did. I don't want a camera. It would be like having a reality TV show. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm all set. So
I totally get that. I totally get that.
I'm out there now.
And you're out there now. So I'm looking at what you sent me, and you spoke at Agent 2021, right?
Yep.
On the mortgage track, I was on the real estate side. So, but that's where we ran into each other. You've won a number of awards, Most Elite Women in Mortgage from the MPA, Most Connected Mortgage Professional by the National Mortgage Publication, and Most Powerful Women in Banking. I mean, you've got some really great kudos here. And I love the fact that you were the feature and cover of Mortgage Women's magazine in March of April. Was that last year or this? It's this year, right?
No, it was last year.
It was last year. Okay.
And they said women winning in sales, which I loved, right?
Oh, I love that.
And I'm a writer there now. We have a new, I'm not stealing thunder, but because we have announced it publicly, but a big promos coming out in the next 48 hours on a new column for Mortgage Women's Magazine called Meet the Mentors, and MEN is capitalized. And Christian Messerly and myself put our heads together. She's the editor and so accomplished at such a young age of that magazine. And knowing that I'm a writer, I began to do columns. So I did different columns based on the theme of the magazine all of last year. And then I said, you know, how do we draw a greater male audience to the magazine? Because, you know, I think it's a great opportunity. And we thought, why not highlight, celebrate, and promote those men who have opened substantial doors to women that rose up to the higher ranks in the banking industry? So again, I don't want to give away the first features about to drop as a special edition in the next 48 hours. And I'll just tell you, I'm really proud. I put on my journalistic hat because now it's different. Instead of just writing an article, I'm out there interviewing people that are, you know, this guy's been nominated by this powerful woman in banking as her mentor who opened the door. Now I'm doing like journalistic interviewing. And it's really exciting. We have four men that we've interviewed already. We have all the additions ready to go up in queue through May, and I'm beginning to interview June's guy now. And let me tell you, these men are fabulous. They're coming with swag. They're the guys that, you know, before it was popular to elevate women, were doing it when they weren't looking to do it for a reason. They were just doing it because they believed in those women. So, I'm proud of that. I got the Beckwith blog this year with National Mortgage Professional Magazine. So I asked them, and Andrew won't mind me saying, that for two full years, I kept asking their editor if I could write for them. And then I finally cornered them and I said, listen, you know, we need more female journalists in the mortgage industry that can show that we also can talk about current matters and economic policies and guidelines. And, you know, we're able to hold those conversations because I really feel like a lot of times women are only asked the female questions, like what's it like to be a mom and an executive? And
right.
I want to show that we have the talent. You know, these women are running $6 billion, $10 billion companies. And they're doing the work. So let's ask them the tough questions. What's going to happen with margins this year? Where's the 10-year treasury going? And, you know, how do you forecast a $6 billion company? So I'm excited. They finally said yes. And then they said, we're not only going to give it to you, but we're going to name it the Beckwith blog. And
here I love that. I think as well, it should be, you know, that's just another layer of that. And we ended up connecting on social media after the event in January. I can't, it was over some post or something, and we were like, we bonded.
We did, totally bonded.
It was kind of like a, what the hell? And it's like, okay. And I'm a midlife mama, hashtag over 50. And, you right know, real, yeah, real estate is, you know, very female driven, but we're not always at the table. Same kind of thing. And we have to get better at that. And also, like you said, as being, getting the writing down and contributing, even more than we already are. And so, what I love is that you have this mindset that is all about growth and expanding no matter, you know, what your age is. And that's my thought process. Is age doesn't really matter. It's what you want to go after. And, you know, and that should be the way it is. And that's kind of my message when I'm doing my podcast and some of the other social media that I do. So I agree with you on that. So let me ask you, what does influence mean to you as a mom, as a woman, and then also in your industry?
Sure. You know, it's funny. I just created a class. I was motivated to do this leaving age in 2021. And I knew I was going to do it for my school that I have inside the coaching platform for 2020. But I created a class called Digital Domination. And I just wrote an article last month called Digital Domination Beyond a Social Experiment. And my theme there was to really take it down to a layman level for all these people that haven't entered the technology race yet. Because I'm 50 years old, and so people haven't entered that race yet. You know, the average age of an LO is 52 years old. And so a lot of them have resisted. They figured it would pass or maybe not come. And now we know it's here and it's moving. So I defined promoter, disruption, you know, all the words that are in there and kind of brought them through. And influence is one of those words. So what do I think it means, and what do I, for the industry and myself? So I think influence in the world today, in my opinion, is about the leveraging and promoting of people's businesses and their brand. And so on a personal level, I feel like for the last 2 years, I have very intentionally tried to influence outward through social media who I am. I've done that through video vignettes by telling my story in a monologue-like way. I have a series going on right now that's monologuing called Vision Unplugged, where I'm just doing 1 minute sound bites on topics that I was asked by my marketing team to cover that they thought people would want to know. So it's telling your story, it's creating a brand, and it's influencing an audience. So attracting, the reverberation of influencing is attracting people to you that get you, understand your voice. And so, you know, Gary Vee always says, I have to quote him, you know, being authentic is how you find your tribe. And I got to tell you, I don't know anybody now with the level of social media that could fake being something they're not.
Right.
You know, and I have to say, I hid the fact that I was a Harley riding country girl for 20 years. You know, I wore my hair back tight. You know, I've always had glasses because I can't see. And, you know, I looked very tomboyish, and I wore suits that were very black and gray and buttoned up to here. And then somewhere, you know, in the last 5 years, I became liberated where I was like, hell, I'm a country girl riding a motorcycle. And here I am. You know, it didn't stop me from being a good banker. It didn't stop me from being a good executive. It didn't stop me from being a good leader. And why should I be ashamed of it? Because the world has some sort of stigma. Maybe I should say, like, don't have a stigma because, you know, all kinds of people have hobbies and everybody has different hobbies. So anyways, I think that's, I've authentically put myself out there now. And now I've attracted a lot of people. I have maxed out on LinkedIn at 30,000 and growing for followers. I'm somewhere in the range of 50,000 followers. And so what happens when you get a following is people want your influence to come back to the question. So if someone puts me up to speak, they already know I'm going to promote it. And I'm going to promote it to 50,000 of my followers. But for every single professional that's commenting, liking, or sharing, it expands. And so I think you become an influencer when you come as a card-carrying audience. And I think
I agree.
The greater your influence is on industry. So now that comes with responsibility. And so the other side of that coin is, you know, I'm getting, you know, you're a celebrity maybe in a small fishbowl of our industry. But I really take that, you know, and this is going to sound so hokey, but I swear to God, it's the truth. My dad leaving for college, you know, he said, you know, and we kind of, I want to add that we, you know, we had to work hard for what we had growing up.
Yeah.
And so he said, listen, I know you're going to go after money and material things and all these things, but never forget that if you come from a place for people's sake, you're always in the benefit of people's sake, the money will come, but it'll be a reward for your heart being in the right place. And I always remembered that. And honest to God, even though I've done really well in my career financially, I've always come from a place where I put the person that I was, you know, working with first. So I'll just end by saying, I think I have a responsibility now. I would have never stood up 5 years ago, ever. And said, as a 2% female executive and a woman, I would never have drawn lights to that. It took my editor in the writing of Wise Eyes, my book, in chapter 14, which was not there, by the way, thank you. Candy Zelkelsey, I'll just name her. I sent the book in. She was the editor. And she said, you're not answering the number one question that people want to know. And that's what's your opinion on the women's movement. I said, are you nuts? I'm managing a male. I'm surrounded by men at my peer level and all men above me. I'm not going to alienate them. And they said, and she said, Christine, when you're gone and 100 years from now, when your grandkids pick this book up and they want to learn about their grandmother, what's your story? You know,
what's your legacy?
what's your legacy? What are you going to say? I said, oh, damn, don't, you know, put me with that. And she said, here's what I want you to do. This weekend, I want you to write this chapter about what your position is as if no one's ever going to see it in a journal, but your truth. So I sat down on a Sunday morning, and it was in the winter, I remember, fireplace going, and I began to write, and I started crying because I realized I was saying things I had never said out loud
right. In
my entire career. And it just poured out of me, wrote the whole chapter, sent it in, never thinking I would publish it. And over a period of 4 to 5 months, she worked me down. She had me send it to the executives at Annie Mac, who said, listen, there may be some people that don't like what you wrote, but it's your truth. So we're behind you. And anyways, it's in the book, and it's coming out.
Well, we have, as of this recording, I believe Friday is International Women's Day.
Yeah. Wow. So, this could be a good one to air on Friday.
Actually, yeah, maybe.
Or now, around really cool. Then.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I have two daughters. And so we talk about these things all the time, and we also, you know, we deal with some of the same things, and we don't want to alienate, you know, over alienate. But there's nonsense that still goes on, you know, in all industries. I come from Fortune 500 sales and marketing background with Warner Lambert and Menon and pharmaceuticals, and, you know, it's the same stuff. And I agree with you, and I want to circle back with what you were saying, because obviously we have a lot of mutual friends, and LinkedIn has really bubbled up. I mean, they've changed everything. I always like to say, I'm in Boca, hashtag so Boca is my lifestyle blog, and LinkedIn just had a facelift. So there you go.
Yeah. You
know, a lot of that goes on. And I'm like, they just had Botox. No, they had a facelift. You grew your following. Let's talk a little bit about that. Did you say to 30 or 50,000? What was it?
So 30,000 on LinkedIn, but with all like social media.
All your socials. Okay.
It's about 50,000. Yeah.
And I want to premise this by saying to people, because it does take time. It's not something that you can do right overnight. And it's about building relationships and growth. And why are you on certain platforms? Maybe they're not for you. But LinkedIn is very interesting. So can you touch base a little bit on what you think the most important one or two things are that someone can do to grow their LinkedIn profile, if it makes sense for their business? Because I don't know if it makes sense for every business.
Yeah. I taught a class in 2018 called Growth for Social Media for Growth Professionals. So the idea was, what are the algorithms? So I studied, there was an article that came out in late August of 2018 where LinkedIn shared all its algorithms. And I learned some really interesting things. Like when you post, it kind of sits in a smaller room. It doesn't really go out to all the public. It goes out to the people that are on your connections. But if it doesn't do well, it kind of stays in this closed room and it doesn't go anywhere. Then it gets boosted and goes into this bigger and bigger and bigger room by initial activity. So, you know, some of the techniques I do, also people that post and revisit their own post to see how it's doing, the social medias know that, and they pull them up because they know you're looking for, you know, that attention to push up. Sometimes you can add a comment in your own section where you can just add an additional thought to the post, and it keeps it elevated. But yeah, I made a challenge to add 25 people a day for 2 years. And what would happen is every time I added 25, I would get 150, because the 25 that would add would see that to their friends. And they started saying, oh, Michelle connected with this girl. I want to see who that is. Then they'd look and then they'd say, yeah. And then they hit me with a connection. So, you know, it happened. I feel like it happened fast because I capped out about 6 months ago now. So it was kind of like about a year, 14 months, where I went from 1,200 to 30,000. But I post every single day. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk stood up at Agent 2021 and he said, you want 100,000 followers and you want to post 110 times a day. And I said, that's nuts. I would never do that. Or even if I had 100,000, I don't know that I would do that. I'm posting out of my comfort zone because I'm at that level now with 50,000 followers that first I have a commitment to advertise the speaking events that I'm part of. I have a commitment to advertise the magazines that I write in. And then beyond that, content writing, you know, or video for commercialization of my company. So, you know, on any given day during prime viewing times, I'm going to have somewhere between 6 to 10 posts a day. And the average post that I put up is going to get between 2,000 and 5,000 views. So what I'll tell you about that is I, for the amount of money I spend for a platinum or premium account with LinkedIn, which is $49.99, not to turn this into a LinkedIn commercial, but for 50 bucks, for 50 bucks a month, I'm paying like Super Bowl level commercials, not by the views, but the average active user, which by the way, LinkedIn as of August of last year said was about 300,000 out of like 9 million people, which means you're going to get impressions of about 3 million people for every post when you're one of those active users. I'm one of them. So every time I post, if I'm getting 3 million people that are seeing me, the impressions, meaning they're right in their scroll, you can't pay for that kind of advertising.
So are you posting on LinkedIn? How often each day are you posting? And what time are you typically posting?
Yeah, so I post anywhere before 8 a.m., typically sometimes up to 8:30. And you can't post too early because there's a minimal amount of traffic during that time. So if you're a 4 a.m. gym rat and you post at 4:15, you're still going to show up in the 9 a.m. feed. And then 2 to 4 is the high traffic time for – that's about the time of day where people start to slow down at work and they start to look at their phones a little. And then 8 to 11 p.m. is the other high traffic time. The difference, though, is your audience. Like 8 to 11, you're going to attract outside your business. 2 to 4 is your high business hour as well as in the morning. But, you know, I took the classes Gary Vaynerchuk put on for, and I will tell you, my battery, I can't even believe this is running low because I've had back-to-back meetings. it sounds disorganized. I hope we don't get cut off. I actually want to look.
You want to plug your battery in? You want me to?
I'm okay. We're good.
Okay.
Right. I'll let you know if we get dangerously low.
Okay. Well, I like to do about maybe max 40 minutes. So we're good. We don't need a full hour.
No, the tips I would tell you is I teach, you know, what are the things, how do you convert from the audience that's reading what you're putting up to social monetization? And that's kind of what I put in my digital domination class. And, you know, you have to have a call to action. So not every single post I do has a call to action. A call to action is converting the reader over to an activity, whether it's clicking on the magazine that you put the link on, my website. Maybe they're writing me an email because I say for more information or for a free consultation, you know, send an email here. But it's giving them what we know about sales is that someone could love what your content is and never buy from you.
Right.
But if you say to that same person that loves you, I can solve your problem. So here's what you want to do. Your images when you post should always attract people to your authentic self. Your verbiage in your copy should solve the problem of your client. So let's say I'll do this with you right now. Let's do it live.
Sure.
Tell me three things about yourself that you would say describe you if you were doing a classified ad on Match.com. Tell me.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm a true Aries.
Okay.
I am a social loner.
Nice.
And I love to travel.
All right. So let's just take the last one, the love to travel part. And let's say you went on Pinterest, which, by the way, Matt Gurin, who's the VP of VaynerMedia, said was one of the highest content imagery posting places to grab content. And I thought that was awesome.
It's crazy. Crazy good. I literally have been studying this.
Yes.
And I archived a bunch of boards.
Yes.
Cleaned up. I really should have two Pinterest accounts, but honestly, Christine, I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah.
So what I did is I moved all the ones that I felt were really important up.
Yep.
Moved the other ones down. I've gone from 8,000 views a monthly to 30,000 in 3 months. Absolutely. And I'm starting to understand better how to use it, which is putting links, to my websites in the post and making the proper pins in Canva and making sure. And then I took an affiliate marketing class and now I've got affiliates. So if I want to drop stuff in, but I'm at a point now where it's like, now I have to monetize all this.
Yes. Yes. And I accidentally kind of stumbled in this area. So, you know, every time you're ever taking education, you're sitting in a room and you're saying, I always say this, my school for loan officers, it's not that I'm teaching brain surgery here or something they haven't heard before, but I know the fundamentals to operating profitable businesses. And so I'm probably refreshing. If you're doing really well, you're sitting in a classroom and you're saying, you're affirming things you're already doing. So you're either the guy that's learning or you're the guy that's affirming that you're already doing something well. And so, you know, I felt really good about being at Gary Vaynerchuk's, and I sat through all the classes when I wasn't speaking myself. And, you know, I said, yes, I'm doing that. Oh, I'm not doing that. You know, and I came back from there and I took an Instagram course that, you know, Matt Gurman said, you can go into the search engine of any social media and write free classes. And you could specifically say what it is, the technique you want to learn. Like Facebook, you could write chatbot and then they're going to find a class on that. So I knew I didn't know much about Facebook chatbot. I knew I didn't know, you know, the Instagram storytelling part. So the TV part. So I started to train myself. I took the classes. I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to know.
Girl, this is where I think you and I really connected, is that I think we both have a passion for this kind of stuff, and we'll circle back to the match.com. I didn't forget about that. But I think this is part of our message today, is that you probably hear the same things I do, which is, I don't know how to do this social media stuff. I don't know, why do I need to be on LinkedIn? How do I do video? How do I get on Instagram and all that? Instagram tends to be my jam. So between my two Instagram accounts, I've got about close to 15,000 followers. And let's say like 70% are truly like in my tribes. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, you never know. Because when you start these things, you don't know what you don't know until you know what you know. And then you're like, oh, damn, those weren't the right hashtags I wanted to use. Or what the hell did I follow that person for? Geez, you know. So I clean some stuff up. I'm always learning. And IGTV, Chelsea Pites did something the other day on IGTV. I sent her a message. I go, girl, I did an IGTV and I hit the post in my profile on my feed. I'm like, I have 500 views of that post because they updated something. They want people using IGTV. So that's kind of my jam, but I do like LinkedIn. So I understand what you're saying. And I'm always saying, ladies, in particular, ladies, pick something. Just don't not do anything. And it's my hashtag over 40. It's not even hashtag over 50. It starts at 40 where they're like, I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I don't enjoy it. And I'm like, well, that's different if you don't enjoy it. I actually enjoy all of this. But at some point, it also has to monetize.
Yeah.
So you've got LinkedIn that's monetized.
What I was, because we both got off on tangents a little bit. Good stuff, though. All good stuff for all watching. Is you said you love to travel. So if you were to post an imagery about a quote about traveling, you are authentically putting your own personality out there. So the idea is, let's say I wrote about myself that I was strong or I was resilient or whatever it is. And then I put a quote, I did this last night, of resilience up. If I put that word up, I'm now attracting everybody else that's resonating with that quote. But in my copy, in the part that you're typing, what problem do I solve to my audience that I'm trying to draw in for business? So a lot of times, if you looked at my LinkedIn, which is very business-minded, my Facebook is more personal. I do put my business stuff up there as well because I have a ton of realtors and loan officers there as well. But on LinkedIn specifically, I am writing, let's say I put the word strong up or I am strong and I felt like that represented me. That's the emotional part attracting the audience. Now in there, I might say, I'm a strong leader and I know how to coach people to better sales, da, 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 da. So the person watching might be a loan officer, might be a realtor, and they're looking and they're seeing that I'm strong. That's the emotional link, but they're also seeing, oh, she solves my problem. And then at the bottom, I'm saying, if you want a free consultation to see if we've hit it off, info@visionyoursuccess.net. And I'm going to tell you something. I've sold more. I don't want to give out an exact number, but I've sold more than six figures in the last 90 days off social media monetization. And I'm a believer more than I ever have been in my life, because that is the primary source of my leads. So I just really believe a lot of money's being left on the table by people that aren't doing the call to action piece, or maybe they're posting their product. Like, I don't want to label anyone, but I think there are a lot of resistance to authentic posting. Like, I think people feel like that's not PC, or people feel like that's too vulnerable. I'm giving away too much of myself, or a person, they just can't relate. Some wiring in the way that we're wired sometimes can't relate to that really authentic post. And they'd rather say, here's my rate sheet, here's my product sheet, but let me tell you what's happening. Nobody is emotionally connecting to that.
No.
And so they may read it, but they probably won't connect to the person enough to take action. Whereas if that same guy said, hey, I love horseback riding, I don't know, or I love racing cars, and all the guys that love racing cars read it, and it was a cool quote with a race car, a car they liked, and then in the post it said, you know, I also, you know, build businesses or whatever it is. And they say, oh, snap, I like this guy. I'd want to work with this guy. And then it says, email me for a free whatever. Now you're getting your audience and you're getting them to take action.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you can be authentic and have your call to action. And I think it's the one piece that I know people get so far and then they're not sure how to connect the dots with it. And I'm kind of at a point where I look at people I admire and I see what they're doing in and out of real estate. I'm like, I can use that here. I can use this here. I'm getting ready to teach a webinar on probate, because I do a lot with probate properties. And I was going to do this long course, and I finally was like, no, my Aries personality is like, I just took a course for 2 hours on a webinar with a 5-minute break. And I was like, that's what I need to do. And that's what people want. They don't want a 5-day or a 10-day. They want, give me the information. How does it work? How can I monetize this? And how can I rinse and repeat it? And so I was like, that's what I'm going to start doing. I just can't. You know, so yeah, I appreciate what you're saying.
One last thing, and I would say to everybody this, there are a lot of people that would not do what I'm doing. There are a lot of people that would not post at the level I post. There's a lot of people that would want to self-promote or be a coach. There's a lot of people that wouldn't ask or be salesy. Mm-hmm. I'm selling books. I'm selling certification classes from my books. Hello, I'm a salesperson. So this is how I feel. If my, you know, I think I have a soft, comfortable sales tactic and technique, and I believe in the value of what I'm offering, and I believe that my time is valuable and my products are valuable. And so here's what I know about great salespeople. When you look at the upper ranks of the top 10%, and I've been surveying and fanning the flames of those guys and been in the honorable seat to witness, you know, some incredible salespeople in my career, and compete with a lot of those guys. So I know what they're made of. And you know, I'll tell you, they're not gonna like not ask for business.
Right.
And they're not going to kowtow to some, you know, I'm not gonna label this, but let's just say old school as a nice way of saying it, thinking about what this means. Like, I know why people said, oh, all those guys over here, and Gary Vaynerchuk opened his conference this way. He said, there's two thought processes, the old school mentality that it's overblown and self-serving, and then the new mentality that are cashing in on it. And so I'm over here, and I am an old school girl, but I'm over here, and I'm going to continue, because as a coach, I need to teach people how to do this, and I need to do it so that I fully can show them, and I need to have the respect of them that I can do it. Not that I think I can do it, but I am doing it. And so I'm doing everything. We're about to launch Clickables from 2020, where people are going to be able to buy one-off classes.
I love it.
That I'm offering internally to my students, but we're going to let this one class go to the public. I have no idea yet what it's going to do, but I know I have the same software as Damon John and Grant Cardone. I spent the money to be a gangster coach. and bring it, you know, bring it strong.
I love it. So, Lady Goss.
Put it out there. We'll see who buys
well,
it.
Well, I think that's, I actually, I like that idea though, because one-offs, that builds your audience. It builds a new contact database and things like that. Obviously you're on the mortgage side, but what do you think three tips that you could give agents? Cause I have a lot of agents that listen to my podcast. Three tips that you can give agents as we're rolling into this 2019, 2020, some things going on. Obviously I think LinkedIn would be one of them, but a couple quick tips.
Yeah. I really think that realtors, and so I ran the real estate influencer panel at Agent 2021. So I was up on stage with, you know, John C. Tolbert, who's in charge.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's where I saw it. Okay.
Yeah.
I came in late. John
runs Four Seasons.
He runs the Boca Resort, my friend.
Boca Resort. And then he had just opened a Belize Four Seasons. And he was up there talking to realtors about how do you sell multi-million dollar timeshares? Well, you create a lifestyle blogging and all this. Then we had John Morgenstern from VaynerMedia, paid for VaynerMedia. Molly McKinney was up there. Obviously, Dave Dickman from Tagger Media was up there. Jason Cassidy.
I came in late because I met Gary Vee.
Yeah.
And I missed part of it, and I watched part of it, but I did see that, and I saw John after, and that was a really good panel.
It was, and the room was standing room only. We had every seat filled and people standing in the back, and this was the takeaway. You've got to connect with 3 to 5 influencers in your field. So realtors are going to gain exposure in this social media war and technology evolution by aligning themselves with people that can help elevate their businesses. So look around you and figure out who are those people that have big followings, have a microphone in their hand, or doing podcasts, and get with those people, because you both serve to elevate your businesses together. That's really the new age way. It's no more, you know, forget about all the years that we were trying to get realtors to go have coffee with us as mortgage guys. Now it's, what is our mutual cause? And how do I elevate you and you elevate me, and I influence business to you and you influence business to me?
I think it's brilliant.
There's a million ways.
I think it's brilliant. And I call it collaborations too.
Yeah.
Because I do collaborations through hashtag SoBoca. Now I'm starting to leverage my real estate following, because like you, over the platforms, I've got a nice little micro influency. Mine's more micro following. And now I asked someone, are you getting invited to speak or are you applying to speak? Me, because I'm a little naive with that. Well, it turns out most of the people I know are applying to speak at things. And so I started putting it out there. Hey, I'm speaking again, because I used to do a lot of speaking. It's the same kind of thing. So I'm trying to go with this person, that person. And I'm going to be on a women's council panel in April down in Broward County. There's something else that I think the Board of Realtors has reached out to me on for May. I'm starting to drop that in because it just kind of goes like this. And I like being able to showcase other influencers on Instagram. Like I share profiles all the time. Like, hey, are you following this person? Same thing, right? And like doing this, I did not know you, but I saw a little bit of what was, you know, you were doing, and then we kept walking by each other. I'm like, I need to reach out to that girl. And then this other thing happened on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, I'm definitely reaching out to her. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, yeah. I think people need to, I was very leery 2 years ago when people were trying to introduce me to other people, because I felt like this is like so much, like I can't meet this many people. And now the pace I'm doing it at is like, you know, I may have 3 new meet and greets a day that somebody's saying, I want you to meet my friend here. I never really know, like sometimes going in, what's going to come out of it. But the most surprising things have, keep throwing your name in the speaker hat. Because I definitely, you know, I was on an airplane with the president of the Speakers Association of America, an 80 something year old guy. And we were talking, and I told him I had a couple books published and I was out on the speaking circuit, and I picked his brain the whole flight. He was so lovely. And, you know, he gave me some really great advice. And that was just, you know, how to walk into a speaking career. And then he sent me his book. We exchanged cards, and I got it a couple of days after I got back from my trip with a personal note. And I read the book, and it basically just tells you, you know, you got to get a name and a brand for yourself. And after that happens, and you're a sought after speaker, people will start offering you money to speak. And it's usually like a 3-year plan. So if the first year, like, I'm going to put myself out there, because they got to see your goods. They got to see you get up and move the audience. And if you can get up and move an audience to an applause or a laughter or just really emotionally connect with the content of what you're speaking to, they're going to have you back. And I can tell you, every speaking gig I've done usually leads to 2 or 3 more. And I feel blessed, beyond blessed, that I have this voice that people want to listen to, you know. I still don't quite get it, actually.
I think it's because you're good at what you do. That's what it is. And I like, and just how you come across. I mean, you're just good at what you do. And I read something recently, I don't know if I read it or I heard it, but kind of like sister speakers. So if I'm speaking at some place, recommend another speaker at the same time. So I've started doing that, like for this other event that our board may be doing. I'm like, you might want to reach out to so-and-so because she's really good with Facebook groups. And by the way, did you reach out to so-and-so because she's really great with video?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to remind people.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, would you mind like dropping my name in the hat? Do you have a favorite podcast or a favorite YouTuber or a favorite LinkedIn person that you follow?
Yeah. So, I mean, I will tell you, podcast wise, I tune into anything and everything I can get my hands on. The Industry Syndicate by far grabs my attention, and I'm super excited. You know, I probably sound like a
I don't know. I've never heard of those guys.
Yeah, I know. Because of the Industry Syndicate, I began watching more and more and more. And of course, I was on Josh Pitts, and Jason Frazier and I are getting ready to launch Mortgage X, which is coming in April.
Yeah, he's such a good guy.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. So Jennifer Duplessis has an amazing podcast, Virtually at Your Fingertips, Kinetic Synergy. You know, I just think there's so many. Just, I would say this, find podcasts within your industry and listen to them, because that's where really what's happening currently is happening.
Yeah.
And then people I follow on LinkedIn, you know, I spend a lot of time surfing, and, you know, again, I would say the people that are putting the most content out, I mean, I follow Gary Vaynerchuk. I read a ton of what he's on there. Damon John, I follow. Dale Vermillion, I still follow. Dale and I have been in the business 30 years, and he puts amazing content out. You know, David Lycan, obviously. I watch a lot of, but yeah, I mean, I know I'm forgetting people that I see on there all the time that I'm tuning into, but,
right.
You know, I just say, get on, get educated, and so on. And you'll really, you know, you won't regret it. You're always picking up new things. So
my last question is always, if you could break bread with anyone, dead or alive, who would that be? And where would you break bread at? Restaurant wise or at your home?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's such a tough question. Like, who would I want to, dead or alive? Can it be someone that's not famous?
Yeah, it could be anyone.
So I had this friend that I grew up with my whole life. He was the oldest boy of 5 boys, and I was the middle of 3 girls, and our families vacationed together, and I always had a crush on him. And then when we got in high school, I discovered that he was gay. He asked me to go to the prom with him his senior year. He hadn't disclosed to his family yet that he was gay. He was from like a military family, and it was a really difficult situation. And this was, you know, a long time ago. And so I went to the prom with him, and I kept his secret. And he went off to college, and he contracted AIDS. And his name was, ironically, Charlie Brown, which is cool, you know. But he would die 6 years after he contracted AIDS. And during that 6 years, I would say he formulated what really was the base of my drive in life. And that was because he felt like he was cheated. He was an artist, and he was going to school. His major was arts. And so I would love to sit back down at a table with him, because our last meeting before he passed, he had said to me one of the greatest things that shaped my life, and that was that you don't know how much time you have. Mm-hmm. And that you need to leave your mark. You need to live a life where every day you're trying to leave your legacy. And so early on in my 20s, because we were 26 when he died. I know. And so he felt he hadn't left a memory. And I told him, I promise you, leave your mark. And so I got to work because I had to out of sanity. And I created a foundation. And for the past 25 years, I have held art shows in his memory, and I have received art from the New York Museum of Art, from faraway places. And at the time when I first launched this, President Clinton sent one of his cabinet members to my first art show, and HBO sent Barry Anson, and I got big notoriety for like grassroots AIDS efforts, and I have raised enough money to send 26 high school students that are underprivileged scholarship monies to secondary finance. But I would love to just sit with him for one dinner and say, see, I told you that people will remember you. And thank you for telling me to do that, because of you, I've lived my life trying to make sure that if something happens to me tomorrow, that I have left a mark here.
That's amazing. And kudos to you for carrying on that light and his legacy. There you go.
It was so easy to do.
That's part of your legacy too, that you are carrying on. That's amazing. Well, I think that's, on that note, I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that, because that's deep in the soul for sure. Please tell my audience how they can find you.
Yeah.
And you can drop your website and,
I'm a shameless plugger. So if you want to find out more about me and my career, you'd visit my website, which is www.visionyoursuccess.net, all lowercase, .net, not .com. You can email me at info@visionyoursuccess.net. If you decide that you want to look under the hood for coaching, we've got amazing programs. And, of course, I'm Christine Beckwith on LinkedIn. I have a couple of amazing books out that you can find on Amazon, Wise Eyes and Clear Boundaries. And, Michelle, thank you so much for having me today and letting us share some wisdom with your audience.
Once again, thanks for listening to the Real Estate Influencer Buzz podcast. I'm so happy that you can join me with such great guests. I mean, oh gosh, my aha moments. I'm constantly writing down notes while I'm doing my actual interview. Hey, if you want more inspirational, motivational, and educational pieces, feel free to follow me at the Michelle B on Instagram. You can follow my YouTube channel under Michelle Bellisari. And hey, follow us at sipsocialcell.com. I post the different webinars and events that I'm going to be either doing or I'm going to be speaking at. And I would love for you to attend some of my free trainings. I always have fun stuff that I'm doing, especially when it comes to social media, voice marketing, and riches in real estate niches. So thanks for joining in. If you like the podcast, feel free to give me a 5-star review and share with some of your real estate friends. Hey, again, I love doing the Sip Social Sell sessions, and I'm glad you could join us. Have a great day.